the magical isle of Vashon or someplace on the Pacific coast. I am broadcasting to you live from another captain's chair in the canal boat in a canal in Amsterdam. It is 21:30 here, and it is past sunset, and the canal that is just outside is slowing down, traffic slowing down. And I am here with my friends, colleagues, classmates, all kinds of Captain Joe's people for a time together, a far too long delayed time together here in the canal boat that is named True Love. And just right this very minute, a canal boat just went by, and they come right up close because it's not very wide here. And so my greetings tonight go to tonight here and in the afternoon there to all of Kate's people all over the world. I'm going to be talking about this in a piece a little bit farther down. But in particular, do I want to recognize all of the people to whom Kate has either written or called of Captain Joe's people, because she has, when a letter or a signal would come in, and especially one that included a donation, she would either call or send a message not only to thank, but also just to visit. Kate is leaving The Voice, and I am very sad about that, and yet I'm very much aware of the circumstances and know that this is the right thing at the right time for her to do it. I'll talk a little bit more about that when I get farther down, but of course we need to get to the binnacle list. And the binnacle list for this week is the fact that I am out of the country and not able to directly influence by actually seeing people or sending them phone calls domestically, is that the binnacle list is pretty much the same as it was, as it has been. And but there's one addition, and that is that our friend and administrator, John, who is the administrator, the head administrator of the, or one of the head administrators of the Coast Guard Channel, is working his way up to having a joint replaced. And part of that workup includes all of the lab work and all of the visits that are necessary to get ready for that. And he's doing all of that. And so we are hopeful that this is going to have a significant improvement in his own, the way he feels about himself and about his ability to get around and to keep on functioning. Also, I've not had any update on my friend Jay, who is now in hospice, and my friend Guido, who is not in hospice but is still recovering after coming back from the hospital, and my friend, and one of the oldest in terms of longevity friends on the island, Gary, and his return to the island and hopeful there that recovery is happening. So all things are moving forward in, if not a smart and seeming-like fashion, they're at least moving forward, sort of like north wind plowing through brash ice. And in my own situation, the flight from San Francisco, which is where I picked up the plane, the nonstop flight from San Francisco to Amsterdam, airline code AMS, was over 10 hours long. And, of course, I was very much concerned that either Mr. Foley, the internal part, or the plumbing that goes with it externally would start to misbehave, and of course I would be up in this aircraft with no access to a Vivian, None of those things happened, and I've been watching it, monitoring it, and doing the necessary PM, that's preventive maintenance, to make sure that everything continues clear. Since we're talking a little bit about Amsterdam, so far we've been able to get together to do some catching up, and in particular with friends being new friends and old friends and friends that have not been with your captain for a long time together, and exchanging both news and updates and things like that. And of course, all of this just warms the cockles of your captain's black heart. These are all people who are much loved by me, people who have been with me in several different places during my lifetime, all people who knew Mary R. And it just is wonderful to be able to spend some time with them and to be able to do it at all. I do move much more slowly. When I had to move from the domestic place where my flight from Seattle, SEA, airline code SEA, began and ended in a domestic gate in SFO, San Francisco, airline code SFO, and it was a mile. And I know it was a mile because the route map, not a chart, not a paper chart, but the route map that showed me how to get from that gate to the international gate to get me to AMS, was a mile, and the route map said it was a mile. To be more precise, 0.9. Close enough, a mile. And so I was pushed by a delightful young man. And in a mile, you can get to learn a lot about somebody, and I learned about his family and why he was working, and he said that he was helping to support a very large family, and that some of the people in that family were elderly, and that his work was important to their financial, medical, emotional survival. And I was so impressed with both the way that he related all of this to me and with his attitude about we pick it up and roll it out. We get on with the work. No whining, mewing, and puking from that young man. He had dreadlocks. I know what those are now. He had dreadlocks, but he was just a delightful young man, and I was pleased to be able to help and compensate him suitably. As we got to the end of the mile, he was puffing just a little bit, and I was glad to see the gate itself, the arrival of the gate. Here in Amsterdam, what we've done so far, I am here for the tall ships muster, and we're going to be hopefully doing some of that tomorrow. But what we did today was that we went to Den Helder, which is about an hour drive away from Amsterdam. And my friends Andy and Cece, who also have a house on the Burton Loop and on the magical isle of Vashon, and who now live on another houseboat, not too far from here, not too far from the city center where this one is. And so we drove to Den Helder, and Den Helder is the headquarters of the Dutch equivalent of our Coast Guard. And they have a museum there. And in this museum, there was a lot of material about search and rescue, about buoys and lighthouses, about rescues, and about the Dutch equivalent of the gold life-saving medal, the silver life-saving medal. Some amazing stories, some wonderful ship models. It was just a glorious, glorious time. And then tomorrow we're going to head out and go see some ships. And I do not plan to be able to do any climbing. I'm not going to do any climbing, but I will wistfully look up into the rigging and say to my friends of family rank that that is what I was able to do at one time. Kate's leaving is a sad thing for me because she and I have worked together for ever since she's been the executive director, and it is Kate's work that keeps all of us moving along in the right direction. She has done just a magnificent job. I don't know yet who is going to be her relief. It is, I always hope that it is going, when we have this situation, that the person who is doing the relieving is of the same level of skills, and but there's no one, because each person is, has their own personality. And I respond to those different personalities. And if you heard the broadcast that Kate and I did together of the car parade during Strawberry Festival a few weeks ago, then you would realize that here were two people that liked each other, they liked to work together, and we were just having a lot of fun with that. And I told her that it would be my hope, and certainly by my invitation, if it is to me to invite her, that she comes back for Strawberry Festival in 2026. And that we continue to do the broadcast together. I hope that we can make that happen. In the meantime, my dear Kate, you have my love, my affection, my respect, and my regard for everything that you have done for all of us. And know that you are, as always, one of Captain Joe's people. And in any way that I can support you in whatever is coming next, then you need only send up a flare, and I will respond. If it's a mayday, those of us who have been in the search and rescue business, if it is a mayday, then I will not only respond by signal or message, but I will head in your direction and be there to help you in any way that I can. The day-to-day part of it, I have to express some disquietude over my email connection. And apparently, I either made the wrong settings when I told Verizon that I was overseas and not catching my email on the Andy phone in the States. But whatever the problem was, all of a sudden, I get this signal, and it says your URL, and I don't remember what URL stands for, but whatever the hell it stands for, your URL is no longer effective, and here is a fault code, and they gave us a number. Well, it took a while to establish contact. With the a young lady who was able to work through the whole problem. I'm not going to spend any more time on this except to say that thanks to a helper, more than a helper, I could not have done this myself. I have had XOs, I have had Chief Yeoman, I have had all kinds of people who have helped me over the years with things that, for one reason or another, I did not fully learn myself. My travel planning is another good example of that. My friend Pam was such a big help with some of my travel planning over the years. There are many, many things that I have chosen for one reason or another not to learn or not to do myself. And I have to depend now more than ever on other people to help me. And I am not good. I tried to be gracious and thankful. And I am gracious and thankful. But probably not as high a level as I should be when we come to a successful conclusion, and we were able to do that today. And as a result of that successful conclusion, I have a couple of stories that I'm going to tell as a result of my being able to read from G. Captain. And here is the first one. Right now, this very day, right along the edges of the United States exclusive economic zone in Alaska, there are five Chinese research vessels. Two of them are claiming, I have not looked at their dimensions or at their capabilities personally, but they are claiming, the Chinese are claiming that these are actual icebreakers, and the other three are ice-strengthened ships, and that they are doing research, probably ice research and climate research, and they are hanging around, right around the edges of our Alaskan exclusive economic zone. This is different from our territorial waters. They are not anywhere close to territorial waters, but they are in an area where, should they, let us say, find oil or find the signs of oil where they would want to do some exploratory drilling, they would not be able to do that. So that's why they're hanging around right close to the edges of it. So in the larger sense, however, the number of ships is of great concern. And so now we have Healy is in Alaska right now. Now Ex-Ivik has now been named by the Coast Guard Storrs, WAGB-21. I still cannot use that. To me, she is still Ex-Ivik, and I am hopeful that her captain is going to be very careful and very mindful of her limitations as he tries to see exactly what her capabilities are, and that he doesn't either break her or peel back that flight deck. That's the ship that has the flight deck still up on the forecastle. So I'll be watching these ships, and I will be reporting back as they make their moves around. And you, too, if you want to, you can go on to marine traffic. So far, they have been keeping their transponders on, the automatic information system transponders, which means that they've been showing up on the marine traffic. But if they choose to turn them off, they might well do that. And then it's going to be surveillance by Coast Guard ships and by Coast Guard aircraft. We've been flying reconnaissance missions out of Kodiak with C-130s to keep track of them. And I know that wherever they are and whatever they're doing, that we're going to be keeping close track on them, and I will be keeping close track on them as well and reporting back to you, because Alaska is our world. It does not belong to Russia any longer, regardless of who might be talking about that, along with Greenland and along with the Panama Canal. Another article in G Captain, which I find is particularly ironic, is Eastern Shipbuilding. Now, Eastern Shipbuilding is the company that had the contract for four of the offshore patrol cutters, one of whom, number three, was the next Coast Guard cutter, Ingham. And the first one is Argus, the lead ship in the class. She has still not had her sea trials. The second one is Rush. The third one is the replacement to my Ingham. No ship can replace her. The next Ingham of the name. And the fourth one is Spencer. And so the contract has been canceled by the Coast Guard and the Department of Homeland Security. And somehow or other, the two ships that are in the water, that is Argus and Rush, are going to be moved from Eastern Shipbuilding. But I am concerned about Eastern Shipbuilding because the article from G Captain tells me that they have received a contract from the Washington State Ferry System. Now, I've mentioned this before, but there was information in the most recent article that I was of which I was not aware, and which I'm going to relate here so that we can all be up to speed as to what's happening with Eastern Shipbuilding. Now, since they have got two of our hulls, and they've got the something built of the other two, Ingham and Spencer, then they've received this contract to build two of these hybrid electric ferries, big, big ships, 410 feet long, 1,500 passengers, 165 vehicles. And they can be run either as diesel only or as diesel, as hybrid ships with the diesel generators generating electricity, and then the that are used to power the electric motors, which is the same system that we have in Healy. And in my wind class, in my north wind, was powered that way. And also fully electric, which means that the batteries that are in them, that will be in them, are kept charged up by the diesel generator. So there are three different ways that these ships can, or boats as ferries are called, can be powered. And they are big ones. And the interesting thing, there are several interesting things about this contract, and here's one of them. As it was true with the offshore patrol cutters, of which that contract has now been canceled, Eastern bid way, way low. The first two are going to cost a total of just over $700 million. That averages out to $350 million apiece. These are what are essentially a big box with propellers on either end and control systems that control those propellers on either end and all the machinery in between. And then there's this great big box that on top of all of that in which the vehicles are driven. Several, in this case, there'll be at least two levels. I haven't looked yet at the drawings, but there'll be at least two levels of vehicles. And Eastern bid way low. They bid below what the engineers for the ferry system thought, and they bid, there was only one other bidder, and bid way low before that. They had to get a change to Washington state law to allow these boats to be built outside of the state of Washington, and Eastern is the low bidder, and I am sending out a warning to the engineers at the ferry system and to the head of the ferry system to beware of those bearing gifts. And in particular, beware of Eastern Shipbuilding bidding low. So I will, as I have with a number of other stories in which I keep my alert captain's finger on them, I will be keeping up with this particular one so that when or if, let us say if, Eastern does fall behind in the contract, or it turns out to be more than they can handle, then this one I will be also keeping monitoring. And in one of the Eastern Shipbuilding press releases, they pointed out that they had successfully delivered 99% of the time on time and under budget all of the ships that they've ever constructed. Now, maybe I misread that statement, but that's the way I read it in my first preliminary reading. Well, that's not true, because here they are. They aren't even finished with Argus and Rush. The hulls are there. Argus hasn't been completed to the point where she can have her sea trials and go out into the fleet. So it's not true that all of these things that they are proclaiming, I find all of that to be somewhat untrustworthy just to start off with. And the fact that my Ingham, the ship of the same name as my Ingham, is, I don't even know how far along they got with her. I am planning to go to Panama City when I come back from my Ingham reunion in the end of September, the beginning of October. I am planning to go back to Seattle by way of Panama City, Florida, and poke around in the backyard where they store old steel and see what I can find of Ingham and how much of it has been completed. And because it was my intent, and if I live long enough, it will be my intent that when that ship is completed, wherever she is, she's going to have a piece of steel in her from my Ingham, still afloat and still in remarkably not only good condition, but as a reminder to all of us of the stories of Coast Guard people all the way back, in her case, built in 1936. So the other thing that came to me out of today's reading of G. Captain was the Marie Maersk on fire. And she is a 19,000 TEU. You all will remember a TEU is a 20-foot container. Divide that in half to see how many 40-foot containers approximately she can handle. 400 meters long, she's one of the world's largest container ships. It is proclaimed that the fire is under control and that it happened in one or more containers. And as more information comes out on that, I will pick up on that particular story as well. I had a little session with Blossom, my black geriatric 18-year-old cat. Blossom was not only 18 years old, but she had breath that would be enough to knock the most hardened Master Chief bosun's mate off his stool in some particular Christian Science reading room. And so I had her checked out, and it was determined that she had some serious mouth problems, and so I booked her in to have all of that taken care of. Well, it has now all been taken care of, and she was returned to me minus almost all of her teeth, but with an incredibly improved attitude. And I should have done all of this a lot sooner. I should have figured out that one of the reasons why she was sometimes lethargic and sometimes swatting with her claws out was that she was hurting. And now she doesn't hurt. So between the two of them, they both of them really hate it when I go away. Sailor has been living in my suitcase. He believes that if he is in the suitcase, that I will not be able then to pack it and to go away. And I said, well, Sailor, I'm just going to put you into the suitcase and take you with me. He said, well, no, Captain, I don't think I want to do that. I'll just hang around here with Blossom. Now, Blossom, in her reincarnation, also doesn't want me to go anywhere. And so she, for the last 2 days, has been following me around everywhere, getting underneath my feet and following me everywhere as I move around the house and got ready to leave. Next week, I will not be back on the magical Isle of Vashon. And I have looked at the schedule and my flight schedule, and I am almost certain that this time I will not only be at Dulles, International Airline Code IAD, but will be able to find a place from which I can broadcast. Know in the meantime that all of you, as always, remain in the palm of my hand. I am incredibly grateful. I am the most fortunate of men. I am incredibly grateful to have all of you to be concerned about my travels, about my ability to keep on traveling. In return, I give you all of my concerns, and especially those who are on the binnacle list and who are the recipients of the concentrated energy that comes from all of us in your direction. And especially when I am away and traveling, we never, ever say goodbye. We say until we meet again.